Won't you take God's word, please? Turn with me to the book of Psalm 127. It'll take me a little while to get there, but I want you to find your place in Psalm 127, and we'll get there in just a moment. Again, I want to welcome you to the building, Families of Faith, first service, and I challenge you, be back tonight in your place. Lord willing, I'll be preaching directly on the marriage tonight, so I trust that you'll be here to take care of that. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for 6 weeks, preaching on the home. I encourage you, be in your place and try to invite people to come and be with you as well. You're in Psalm, but I'm going to read in the book of Nehemiah. I don't want you to turn there because you're in Psalms. You wait for me there. But in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 18, the Bible says, "And I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Rise up and build. And I want to give you the introductory message of this entire series. And God willing, tonight we'll start getting very specific. But I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, building families of faith. Building families of faith. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Our Lord, we love you today and we thank you for your goodness to us. I pray, God, as you've laid this on my heart, that you'll use it in a mighty way. Would you speak to us? Speak through me. Speak to me. Help me. Help my marriage. Help all of our marriages to be stronger. And help our homes to be what you want them, Lord, exactly what you want them to be. Bless the visitors for coming here. Help them to feel right at home here. Help our folks to make them feel at home as well. Help me now as I preach in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my burdens for this church is to have families of faith who are grounded in the Word of God. Now, after all, our church is no stronger than the homes that are represented in it. And the stronger our homes are, the stronger our church will be. Now, by the way, if Satan gets into the homes, he will eventually get into the church. In order to help with this burden, the Lord has laid on my heart a series of messages. And this series has been prepared for I don't know how long, I guess a year and a half maybe or so. Been sitting in my office that I've entitled Building Families of Faith. Now notice the title is not Building Faithful Families, because a family can be faithful at a number of things. You can be faithful drinking booze if you want to be. I'm not talking about building faithful families. I'm rather talking about building families of faith. There's a big difference. And by the way, if you are truly a family of faith, you will in turn be a faithful family to the right things like God's house and God's word and prayer and all these kind of things. But let me say this before I even get started today, and that is this. You cannot build a family of faith until, first of all, you are a family in faith. Let me explain. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're sitting here right now and something happened to you, or you had a heart attack, or Jesus Christ came back as I speak, by the way, either one of those two things could happen at any moment in time. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when Jesus is coming back. And if you're sitting there today and there's a doubt in your mind or in your heart, I don't know where I'm going when I die. Listen, there's no way you can build a family of faith until you have settled that you are a person or a family in the faith. You must be a child of God before you can build a godly home. Everybody understands that, right? So if you're lost today, I encourage you, even though I'm not preaching this direction, but I'm encouraging you, if you do not know the Lord, you ought to have a desire to build a family of faith, but you cannot build something you don't have. Amen. You've got to be in the faith. Now today, I'm gonna shock you here. I've got 10 points to my message. Now you say, Jody, is this typical? No. But I will say this, these 10 points will help you if you'll let them. Now, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to take literal building. In other words, building this church or building my house or whatever the case may be. And I'm going to compare physical building with spiritual building. And we're going to see that God has given us a great personal illustration to show us how he wants us to build our homes. There's 10 things. Let me dig right in. Number one, the first thing that summarizes building as we're talking about building a family of faith. Now, tonight, God willing, we're going to start getting very specific, like on the marriage, later on about parents, later on about finances. Those are specifics. This is a summary message. We're looking at building in general.
And I'm going to give you 10 things that summarize building, first of all. You choose your contractor. Let me repeat it. You choose your contractor. When we build our house, we specifically ask an individual to build our home. Now, there's a reason why we ask him to build our home. Number one, because he helped us out tremendously. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. But secondly, we trusted him. Now, there are other builders. We've got builders in this church. And I thank God for every one of them. Don't think I overlooked you, okay? Because I appreciate what you're doing. But God led us to this specific individual. Here's my point. When my wife and I were deciding to build our home, we did not get the Yellow Pages out and just go, there's one. We'll just let him try it. Take a shot at it. No way. We specifically chose somebody that we knew and that we trusted, and we knew that he was going to do the job right. In the same way, spiritually speaking, you must choose who builds your home. You're there in Psalm 127:1. Look at it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Do you understand that the only way you can truly have a family of faith is if you let God build it? Amen. Somebody help me out, folks. And by the way, this is a moment by moment, decision by decision, day by day choice that you make. Every choice you make, it is either I want God to have control of my life or I want me to have control of my life. And if you want you to have control in your life, you're going to make a mess out of it. But if you let God build your home, you let God have his way, you surrender to the Lord, you just give in to him, and God will build you a house that will stand against the test of time. Amen. You choose your contractor. Secondly, quickly here, you know I don't mean that, right? But secondly, quickly, number one, you choose your contractor. Number two, a blueprint is followed. Now, you know what I'm glad of? Now, those of y'all who know my wife, if you've ever been to our house, when you walk into it, it's been flip-flopped. The original blueprint had the bedrooms where the living room and kitchen are, and the kitchen and living room where the bedrooms are. Well, my wife got a hold of it, and she flip-flopped it. And she knocked out a wall here and so on, and they drew a blueprint for the way that we wanted our house built. Now, you know what my wife and I are rejoicing about? We're rejoicing that they tied themselves down to that blueprint. We're glad they just didn't say, well, forget the blueprint. Let's just put a wall up here. If they like it, fine. If they don't, that's okay. No, we're glad that when we had a specific blueprint in mind, we're glad that our house looks exactly like the blueprint calls for. Now, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? In building a family of faith, you must follow God's blueprint. I hold it in my hand. It is the wonderful word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. By the way, what does your home need? Doctrine, reproof at times, correction, and instruction. And the only place you can really get it is from this book right here. You cannot and will not, I repeat, you cannot and will not build a family of faith if you do not have a daily dose of God's precious word in your life. You must be living by the Bible. Somebody says, I'm not going to have anybody tell me what to do, including God. And you wonder why your marriage is wrecked too, don't you? You wonder why your children's are wrecked. Now, not everybody, but what I'm saying to you is this. You cannot build a family of faith and skip the foundation of faith, which is the Word of God. Amen. You must have God's Word, and you must build on His Word. You must follow the blueprint. By the way, this whole series, 6 weeks of it, we're going to be looking at the blueprint. What does the blueprint say about the marriage? What does the blueprint tell the husband? What does the blueprint tell the wife? What does the blueprint tell you about finances? What does the blueprint tell you about the devil? What's the blueprint tell you about how to live in victory over the devil? What's the blueprint tell about your home? I'm talking about disciplining kids, how to discipline. What does God's word? Hey, you follow God's word, you can build a family of faith. But you don't follow the blueprint, you're going to make a mess out of it. Number one, building, just relating physical building with spiritual building. You choose your contractor. Same thing in a home of faith. You must choose the Lord. You follow a blueprint. Same thing in building a family of faith. You must follow God's blueprint. Number three, building must go in sequence. What's that mean? It means you don't start with the roof. Anybody's home start with the roof? Now, mine probably could because I could still live under it. You know what I'm saying? But my point is this. If you do not start off right, if you don't get the foundation right, the roof's not going to meet up just right over here. The windows may sit in there crooked. The door may hang crooked. And other things are going to be off. Now, I want to share with you two foundations for a family of faith. Number one is the foundation of salvation. I've already hit on this a little bit, but if you're not saved, you don't even have a roof. You don't have windows, you have nothing. See, the foundation is Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying to you is that if you've never been saved, you cannot build a family of faith. Are you with me? Secondly, just in case you are saved, and I realize that that's a majority of you, here's the main thing I want to talk to you about. There's a second foundation for a family who has been saved, and that foundation is still Jesus Christ. But not only the foundation of salvation, it's the foundation of fellowship. Now, what I mean by that is this. If you're saved and you're not reading this Bible every day of your life, I guarantee you've got problems elsewhere in your life. If you're having marriage problems, I'm not asking for a show of hands, I'm not going to do that. That would be ridiculous, right? I'm sure hands would go up everywhere if I did anyway, you know. I'm not going to do that. Brother Garrett, you raise your hand? No, I'm just kidding with you. I'm just kidding with you. Thing is this though. If you're having problems in your marriage, I know the problem. I already know where it starts. It either one or both are not fellowshipping with God. If you're saved, either somebody's lost or somebody's not walking with God. Amen. Now I know what I'm talking about, folks. That's the foundation. In other words, if you come back tonight and hear specifically about marriage, what God expects, all that kind of stuff, if you bypass walking with God, it's not going to help you. You must get the foundation right. You must be walking with, you must know you're saved, and then you must be walking with God every day of your life. Scott Pauley, we've had him here for revival. He told me one time, and I didn't really understand this because I was young, I was immature and all this kind of stuff. He said, Jody, he said this, I think he was telling the class. He said, anytime I have a teenager, this is when he was a youth director. He said, anytime I have a teenager come in my office and tell me they're having problems, he said, I always ask them this question, are you reading the Bible every day? He said, if their answer is no, he says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I thought when I first heard that, that's awful cruel. Because they came for help, and if they don't read the Bible, then he can't help them. But the longer I've lived, the more I realize how wise that is. If you're not reading the Bible, there is nothing that I can say to help you. You're going to have problems elsewhere. Everybody with me? Anybody with me out there? You're not asleep, are you? I'm saying building must go in sequence. That means you start off where God starts off, and that is with making sure you're saved, and then make sure you're walking with God every day of your life. Question, not going to ask you to respond, are you reading this book every day? If you're not, your marriage is suffering from it. You may say, my marriage is great, but it could be that much better if you read this word, this book every day of your life. You think it's good now. You get God in the equation, and you walk with God every day, and God helps you love her men like he loves the church, and God helps you ladies submit to him just like the church is to be in submission to him, and God starts coming in, and God gives you that desire as you walk with him. That's the foundation. You must go in sequence. You must walk with God. 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If the foundation is off, the rest of the building's going to be off. You understand that, don't you? If you build things, would you raise your hand? I'm talking about a contract or something like that. Would you raise your hand? Am I telling you the truth or not? If you don't get the foundation right, the walls are going to be crooked. Something else is going to be off. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Are you saved? Number two, you walking with Him every day? I'm not asking, are you perfect, but are you reading His Word every day? Are you praying? Are you spending time with Him? Then number four. By the way, I don't expect you to remember all these thoughts. I don't expect that. But I trust something may help you today. Just summarizing this series. Number four, everybody does their part. Now, I'm going to tell you something else my wife and I are thankful for. We're thankful that those who were putting the sewage system in didn't try to work out the electricity. And vice versa. We're glad those who were to come in and put the siding on didn't necessarily dig out the footers, unless they're qualified in both of those areas. What am I saying? I'm saying I'm glad that those who are qualified in that specific area did their part and didn't try to dive into that person's part and dive into that person's part. Because see, when those who came in to dig out the footers, and then those who poured the concrete, and then those who did the flooring, and then those who did the walls and the windows and the roof and the electricity and the sewage and on we could go. When everybody just did their part, it came together as a beautiful house. Do you realize God has given you a part in your home? Now, folks, listen, I'm going to say something that's not popular, but I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to be biblical. Amen. If you, as an individual, whether you're a husband, a wife, a mom, a dad, a child, what happens is when people, such as a child, thinks, and I'm going to deal with this later on in the series, but when a child thinks that it's their way or the highway, it would be the highway in my home. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something, when a child tries to play the parent's role, it is not biblical. And when the parent starts playing the child's role, they just don't want to go to church and all this kind of, because if we go to church, I'm afraid we're going to lose them. If that's your thinking, you don't have too much sense up here, folks. Because with that thinking, you've already lost them. You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to help you today. I really am. And what I'm saying to you is this. Wife, the greatest thing you can do is find your part that God wants you to do. And do it. Husband, find what God wants you to do and do it. Child, find what God wants you to do and do it. Father, mother, find what God wants you to do and do it. Let me just give you some of these scripture references. I'm not going to read them for time's sake because I'm going to be preaching on some of these things in detail later on. But Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through chapter 6, verse 4. Also Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. Now, in those portions of Scripture, you will see, especially in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through chapter 6, verse 4, you see the husband, the wife, the parents, and the child's responsibility. And what God wants you to do is find what He wants you to do, the part He's given you, and say, I will do my part faithfully. And when you do your part faithfully, and he does his part faithfully, and the child does their part faithfully, and the parents do their part faithfully, you're going to have a beautiful picture of what a home should really be like. Why? Because it's God's blueprint. It's God's plan. God has told the man what to do. God has told the lady what to do. God has told the parents what to do. God has told the children what to do. And when you do your part, then the whole will start coming together. And it'll be a beautiful picture. I challenge you to read those passages of Scripture when you get home today to find your part. By the way, if you come throughout the series, you're going to learn your part in great detail. So since I'm doing that, I'm not going to go into detail here. I'll never get through today. Number five. Building is hard work. For example, the foundation of my storage shed. Brother Gary built my storage shed and I helped him. But he pulled a trick on me. He made me dig the footers. Said, I want you to make sure everything's level by the time I get there. See, I'm crazy about stuff like that. I didn't realize what he was doing. That was hard work. That was hard work. Are you listening to me? What are you laughing at, folks? You know what you need to understand? If you're going to build something, it's going to take work. And it's going to be hard work too, folks. Nehemiah 4:6 says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. You know why some people do not have the marriage that God wants them to have? They're lazy. They don't want to work at it. You ever felt like giving up? throwing the towel in? Not worth it. I'll tell you one thing, this is harder than I thought. When I said I do, I didn't realize that means good night, it's over for me. I didn't realize it's a two-way street. I thought it was going to be my way or the highway, you know. What am I saying? It's hard work when God tells you to do something that in your flesh you really don't want to do. Right? It's hard work. You want to have a great marriage? You're going to have to work at it. Building takes hard work. Number six, building takes time. Now, you don't build a house in a day. You don't build a family of faith overnight either. It's not going to happen overnight. Nehemiah 6:15 says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul. In 52 days it took them to build the wall. In Philippians chapter number 3, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14, the Word of God tells us this. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't arrived yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My challenge to you under this point here is this. Don't ever think that your marriage can't be helped more than it is. Don't ever think that your home can't be better than it is. Don't ever think that you have arrived. You're doing everything right. Your life is perfect. Your marriage can't get any better. Are you listening? You have never arrived. Your marriage can get better than it is. And by the way, if your marriage is terrible right now, God is bigger than anything that's causing that problem. I'm glad I can say that with confidence today. God is bigger. I don't care what it is. You don't know what I'm going through. You're right. I may not know what you're going through, but I know God's bigger. Amen. Yes. Building takes time. You're going to have to be in it for the long haul is what I'm saying. It takes time. Number seven, building cost, unfortunately, right? You don't build for free. It's going to cost some money. And let me say this to you. If you really want a family of faith, it's going to cost you some things. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 36, verse 3, it says, they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. In Luke chapter 14, you don't need to turn to these passages. Verse 28 through 30 says this. It says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he had laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And all I'm saying to you is this. Building a family of faith is going to cost you some things. It may cost some of you some friendships. If you're hanging around people that are not good for you, I'm talking about they're ungodly, they're wicked, they need the Lord and you ought to witness to them, but if you're yoked up with them and you're buddy-buddy with them, and they're, by the way, you won't lift them up, they'll drag you down. It's going to cost you some friendships, some of you. If you I'm not talking about you cut your friends off, folks. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You ought to be friendly. You ought to be kind. You ought to be nice. You ought to try to reach them for the Lord. But if you are with them so much, and every time you do something, it's with them, and you realize that they are a bad influence on you and a bad influence on your kids, you don't need to look at them and say, you're a bad influence on me. We can never speak again. No. But you need to be very careful how you submit time with them, because if they rub off on you, it's hacking away at your building a family of faith. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth, don't you? Some of you, it may cost you some music that you've been listening to. Some of you, it may cost you some certain places that you normally go. You say, you're going to name them? No. But you know if it's right or wrong, don't you? Some of you, it may cost you some things that you need to give up. For the life of me, I do not understand why people are afraid to give up something for God. Now think about it. Look at this irrational thinking. I'm afraid if I go all out for God, I'm going to have to give that up. Something's wrong with that kind of thinking. There's people who are not saved today. I hope they're not in here, but there are people who are not, who've never trusted Christ because they're afraid of giving that up. Is that worth burning in hell forever? You say, is hell a real place? That's what Jesus said. But that's why he died. That's how much he loves you. He doesn't want you to go. And I'm challenging you. Number eight, hope you understand what I'm doing with this opening message. This is not a typical message of mine where I hone in on one thought and try to drive that thought home to you. That's going to start again tonight. This is just a summary of building. Just getting you to think about building. Number eight, building, you need the right materials. For instance, if you're going to build a brick house, you've got to have brick somewhere. That's deep, isn't it? Anybody misunderstand that? Sure. You know, in the Word of God, God's given us some materials to build our homes with. Let me give you some passages. You can read these later. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Let me just list these for you. Not going to read the passages, but these are the passages that come out of. First of all, is faith. That means moral conviction. Secondly, is virtue. That means excellence or moral energy. In other words, you're not only going to do right, you're enjoying while you're doing it. Some people say, I got to do right. You might have faith, but you don't have virtue at that time. Virtue is moral energy, excellence. I'm going to do right, and I'm glad I'm doing it too. Number three is temperance. That means self-control. I'm not going to ask any of you ladies or men, how many of you all need that in your home, you know. Number four is patience. This is all in 2 Peter 1, 1 through 8. That means hopeful endurance. That's a beautiful word. Every now and then in your marriage, you need to have some hopeful endurance. I will endure it with hope in my mind, you know. That's a tool. Excuse me, that's a material that you need. Number five, these are all listed in 2 Peter 1 through 1, 1 through 8. Godliness, that means holiness. Brotherly kindness, that means love of the brethren. Hey, you ought to love God's children. And you ought to share it in your home. You should never criticize. And I know I'm the pastor. But you know I would say this if I wasn't the pastor. You should never criticize the pastor to your children. If you do, you're crazy. Because if your children come and sit and listen to this pastor preach and you've criticized him, they're not going to listen to that much of what I've got to say. And you're hurting them at that time. You're not helping them. By the way, I'm perfect. Haven't you figured that out? There's nothing to criticize about me, you know. Well, you all laugh at the most inopportune times, you know. Last one in that passage is charity. That means love. In 1 Peter 3, 1 through 9, he mentions the material of being of one mind. That means in harmony. Let me ask you a question in your marriage. Do you have unity? Are you in harmony? Secondly, in 1 Peter chapter 3, it's 2 Peter 1, 1 through 8, and 1 Peter 3, 1 through 9, he says, be pitiful. That doesn't mean what you're thinking it means. He's so pitiful, you know. No, it means to be tender-hearted. That's what that word means. Tender-hearted. Thirdly, he mentions in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 9, he says, be courteous. That means be friendly of mind. And then he mentions the word blessing. Let blessing be in your home. You know what that word blessing means? It means elegance of language. That's a beautiful word. Let me ask you a question. Is the language in your home elegant? Or if we had a tape recorder and you didn't know it in your home last week and I brought it up here and said, oh, by the way, we taped every one of your conversations between you as a married couple. We're going to play it for everybody to listen to. Would you sit here and listen to it? Or would you get up and storm out the back door and say, I'm never going to that church again. Can't do anything out there. You know? God says he wants the language in his homes to be elegant. By the way, can you imagine the Lord speaking to you, men, the way that you speak to your wife? Or ladies, can you imagine the Lord treating you the way that maybe you treat him? You say, you're offending me, then you're guilty. That does not offend somebody who's not guilty of it. That makes sense, doesn't it? Let me give you a ninth thing. I'm about done. I know what somebody's saying. I'm not coming back for this series. This is killing me. I hope you will, though, as we hone in on these special, special relationships in the home beginning tonight. Number nine, building takes the right tools. You're not going to drive a nail very good with the handle of a screwdriver. Need a hammer or a nail gun or something like that. Well, in the same way, God has given tools for you and your family to build with. Some of those tools I've already mentioned would be devotions. You ought to have devotions with your family. You ought to have personal devotions. But then, men, you ought to gather your family around you and you ought to read God's Word as a family and you ought to pray as a family. He gives you stuff like godly music. If the music in your home is off, then other things will be off too. Now, I'm not mentioning certain types of music because I learned a long time ago, you know if the music you're listening to is right or wrong. You already know that. Right? You know if it is or not. Do you know music is a major tool that the devil uses? By the way, does anybody remember what his job was in heaven? Music? Interesting, isn't it? So what tool do you think is his major tool today? Music? He gives you godly music. And you ought to make sure it's in your home. He gives you stuff like his word. I hate to call this stuff. This is the word of God. Things like prayer. These are the right tools. And then number 10. I don't want you to ever forget this because this is where the remainder of the series comes into play right here under number 10. Because I've just been summarizing the series with you, just kind of letting you see a little bit about what building is about. But this right here is kind of a springboard for us to go into the remainder of the series. And that is this. Details and precision are extremely important in building. Now again, I'm gonna refer back to the storage shed that Brother Gary built, and I helped him with it. The first thing he did was frame out the floor. And I remember when he came over, we set it down, and then he had us measure from one corner to the opposite corner. And then he went to the opposite corners and went this way and said, "That's a little bit off. Let's knock it over a little." I never have figured that out. You understand? But anyway, I know it's right. But anyway, and we measured again. It's a little bit off, so we knocked it over a little bit. He's being very precise here. Are you with me? Very detailed in this. And even though I didn't exactly know what was going on, I realize now that the reason he was doing that is because he knew if he didn't get that precision right, that detail right, that it would affect the building somewhere else. Correct? Now, in a home of faith, building a family of faith, there are no small matters in your home. Every single detail is important. Husband to wife, extremely important. Wife to husband, extremely important. Mom and dad to child, extremely important. Child to mom and dad, extremely important. Music, extremely important. I'm talking about God's Word, extremely important. There are no small details in building a family of faith. Judges chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. I'm not going to turn to it because I'm going to preach on this later on. It's on the danger of disobedience and how the children of God who knew God and loved God, they did not obey God completely. When they were dead, there arose another generation, Judges 2:10, and the Bible says, that knew not the Lord. And the reason that generation did not know the Lord, now yes, it was because of them, but it started way back here with the moms and dads and grandmas and granddads who God said, "I want you to drive all the enemy out. I want you to kill them all off." But they didn't do that. And because they bypassed that detail, there was a generation of the Israelites after they were dead and gone who didn't love God, didn't know God, didn't care anything about God. Details are important, folks. I'm going to give you a lot of details throughout the next 6 weeks, a lot of them. It's going to begin tonight. I hope you'll be here to hear it. Now, I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do. I really am. And I trust He may be even speaking to you now. I brought something with me just about through here. That's another one of my famous lies, just about through. But I brought something with me here tonight, this morning. It's a level. Now, I want to leave you with this thought. As we are plowing towards tonight and Wednesday and then next Sunday all day and for 6 weeks, we're going to build a family of faith. and I trust you want one. But I want to share something with you. I'm gonna lay that level right there. Now I checked this before the service just to make sure. And as I come down here with you, I want you to think about that level up there. Now, as you've heard what you've heard today, we're just getting started. I hope you understand that. I'm going to get very detailed later. But as I look up here, you can take my word for it. As a matter of fact, I'll just leave it there. You can come by and look at it yourself. Don't take it. That's stealing. That's being a bad boy or girl. But you look up here and the bubble's in the middle. Now, what's that tell you about the pulpit if the bubble's in the middle? Right, but think. I'm trying to get you to think. What's it tell you about the stage? Right. What's it tell you about the basement? What's it tell you about the footers? What's it tell you about the foundation? You listening to me? That bubble would never be in the middle if the foundation was not level. Now I want to ask you this question. Where's the bubble in your home? Is it in the middle? And as I take one giant leap of faith, is it up this way? Is it this way? Or is it in the middle? You know what God wants? That if He put this level, spiritually speaking, in your kitchen, in your living room, in your bedroom, on your driveway, anywhere in your home, He wants the bubble in the middle, and He is the only way to get it there. Right? Where's the bubble today? That's the major thought I want you to take home. Where's your bubble? I know what you're thinking. I know I've got a bubble right here. I understand. I'm not talking about this bubble. I'm talking about this spiritual bubble. I'm talking about, is your home level? Is it level? And I trust that you see my heart, that I want to help you. I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. Let's all bow our heads together, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Appreciate you listening so well this morning. God bless you. Our Father, I pray that you'll take these several thoughts. It's a different style of message, but several thoughts. And I pray that you'll use them in a mighty way. Would you bless now and help me to draw the net according to your will and way. Now your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I'm going to go right down the line. I wanted today, are you a family in the faith? Now this series is about helping you build a family of faith, but you understand you can never be a family of faith until first of all, you're a family in faith. Do you know the Lord? Have you really trusted Christ? I mean, have you really, really become a child of God? Now, I want you to understand something. This is not about joining our church. This is not about you getting baptized. It has nothing to do with it. But the first and major thing is, do you know for sure that heaven's your home? Have you really trusted Christ? Can you really build a family of faith? Because you already know that you're a family in the faith. If you're here today and you say, Jody, I'm glad I know that. I'm glad I know I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. No doubt in my mind. Would you be an honest person? You already know that. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? Just be honest. That's all I'm asking you to be, is just be honest. God bless you. Thank you. If you couldn't raise your hand to that, thank you for being honest. It all starts with being honest before God. And I want you to know something. I love you today. But I don't love you anyway the way God loves you. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life. That way He didn't have to die, you understand? But He chose to die, and He died in your place. He died for your sins. And all you must do is receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Somebody here today, and you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that question because I either know I'm lost or I have a doubt in my mind. Now listen, if you respond to this, you have my personal word. I will not call you out. I will not embarrass you. I will not come to your seat. I'm not going to do that. I just need to know how to proceed with the invitation.
So is there somebody here today and you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand saying I know I'm saved. But I realize now that this is what I need. I need to become a child of God. And this is you. If there's somebody like that, would you be honest? Don't draw attention to yourself. I'm not going to draw attention to you. But if that's you, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. I'm looking. God bless you. You can put your hand right back down. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know this is what I need. Anybody else? Put your hand up. Put it right back down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Now, I want you to do me a favor if you wouldn't mind doing this. This is between you and the Lord, because I told you I'm not going to point you out, and I'm not going to do that. If you raise your hand to that question, I'd like you to lift your eyes and look right up here at me. Would you do that? If you raise your hand, I want you to look right up here at me. I'm just letting you know that I see you. Now, nobody else knows who I'm talking to. But I'm going to challenge you to do something in just a moment. And I'm going to challenge the one who's sitting with you who comes to our church. She knows who she is to help you with this. In just a moment, we're going to stand, and I'm sure that people are going to be responding. We're going to take a lady with a lady, a man with a man. And we're going to share with you how you can know for sure that heaven is your home. And you say, Jody, I'm scared to death. I don't know people here. Listen, we who are truly, by the way, I'm not asking you to do something that I haven't had to do myself. And I'm going to tell you something. Anybody who truly knows the Lord will rejoice with you. They'll be thrilled that you've come to make this decision. And I trust that you'll do it. May the Lord really help you with this. May God help you. If you're here today and you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. But I'm going to be honest. If I'm honest with God, I believe my bubble is not in the middle. It may be your marriage. It may be your parenthood. It may be you're a child, a teenager, and you're not responding to your parents right. But you say, Jody, if I would be honest before God, I believe that my bubble is not in the middle. Now just be honest with God. That's all I'm asking you to be. I'm not going to ask you to get specific or tell me what it is. No, it's none of my business. If you say, Jody, I'm concerned that my bubble is not in the middle. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand in the air, please? Be an honest person. That's a lot of hands. God bless you. May the Lord help you. Just a moment, I'm going to have you to respond. And I want to challenge you, when you respond, it helps those who may be lost to respond. In just a moment, maybe some of you men would like to gather your wife, grab her by the hand and say, let's go pray. And let's ask God to really speak to us during this campaign. By the way, it may be in the service tonight. It may be in the service Wednesday night. It might be next Sunday morning or Sunday night that God really wants to speak to you. As we get down to the nitty gritty, whatever God wants you to do, I want you to do it. And if you're here today and not sure that heaven's your home, I want you to come. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking but myself and Brother Gary. Father, would you take it and use it? Help people to respond in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, why don't you come now? If you're not sure that heaven's your home, why don't you leave your place now and come? Why don't you leave your place now and come? Come now. As Brother Gary sings, may the Lord help you. As he sings, would you leave your place?
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today.
Why don't some of you men grab your wife?
Whiter than
grab
snow,
your children.
Lord,
come and say, God, speak to me. Speak to me in this
as
sense.
As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary,
help me,
I pray. Power, oh power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
They're playing through. If you're still standing, I want you to be seated just a moment. You can look this way. People being dealt with. I want you to know that my burden in this is that your home will be strengthened. Your marriage will be taken to the next level. Your marriage will have the blessing of God upon it. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, that whatever, wherever it is, apply it to your life. God wants to move in. And He wants to bless your life. If you're visiting with us today, God bless you. We're so thrilled you're here. I want you to know that you're welcome. You know that. We trust that you'll be back to be with us again. I believe the Lord is blessing and we praise Him for it. I'm going to go ahead and take the time as they're playing through to talk to you about this. Brother Gary had an idea and I appreciate him doing this, and he's putting this together every week. He's taking the two messages that you'll hear on Sundays and he's putting together what's called the Building Families of Faith Daily Building Blocks. It's like a little devotional thought every day for this next week. And these seven building blocks that start tomorrow will refer you back to what you hear this morning and what you hear tonight. It's got a devotional thought and then today's challenge. Many of you may have gotten this in Sunday school, but we've got a stack of these back on the Welcome Center. You don't have to take these, but I hope you will. I think the Lord would have you to take it. This is between you and your family. And every day you do building block number one, building block number two, the next day building block number three. What we're trying to do is help you to take what you hear and apply it to your life. It's one thing to know something, it's another thing to do it. For instance, building block number one is the devotional thought is you cannot have a family of faith unless all members of the family have been saved. A mutual relationship with Christ is the foundation. Without it, there can be no unity. But today's challenge is this. This is tomorrow. Have each member share their personal testimony of salvation. Record the date and place that each member became a child of God. Let me give you something, especially if you're married. Your spouse ought to know your personal testimony of salvation as well as you do. Have you ever sat down with your spouse and told them about the time you got saved? Now maybe you got saved together and that's a beautiful thing. It would be a great thing, men, for your wives to know your testimony as well as you do. By the way, your children, as they get older, they ought to be able to recite your testimony to you. If anybody ever asks him, is your daddy saved? Yes, and here's how he got saved. Now, if you're like me, you may not remember the exact date because I was a young boy and I didn't write it down. You may not know the exact date, but you ought to know that you're a child of God, that there's been a time that you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. May the Lord help you with this. You know, the Lord has been working on me this week. He's been working on me in a major way. And I give Him all the glory for it. I really do. You don't mind if we deal with people about their soul, do you? Well, I hope not. Tonight, Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching on God's marriage manual. Next Sunday morning, God willing, loving like Christ, which is directly to the men. So ladies, get them here, okay? Next Sunday night, God willing, I'm going to be preaching on holy wives. And as we proceed, we'll be going from the marriage and then turning over to the parenthood, turning over to the children, and then turning over to how the devil attacks your home and how to live in victory over that. It's a good thing. This is Mr. and Mrs. Bob Weaver, correct? If you folks wouldn't mind to stand, Ms. Charlotte, if you want to stand with them. These folks are coming to join our church by statement. You have been saved and immersed, correct? It's a thrill to have you here. It's a fine looking young man you've got there. You've been here all your life. Yes. I'm more eye level with him too, you know. We're glad to have you here. Is there a motion that we receive them? Brother Butler? Brother Stover, seconds. All in favor, if you'll say aye and raise your hand high. All opposed, same sign. So carry. God bless you. We're thrilled you're here. In just a moment, they'll be standing up here. And if you want to come by and shake their hands, you can be seated. Donna Smith, if you wouldn't mind to stand. Miss Judy standing with you. Miss Smith, you're coming today, and the best you know how, you're receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're trusting Him today. We're thrilled for you. That's what it's all about. We praise God for it. Amen. Megan Smith, if you'll stand, please. Miss Seaman's there with you. And the best you know how, you're coming today to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The best you know how, correct? And you mean it. Is this your mother? This is a mother and daughter. Both of them trust in the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Mason Smith, would you stand, please? I don't have anything marked on this. You're coming today to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Is this your mother and your sister? Isn't that great? Here's a mom, a daughter, and a son. I want to say something to you. Number one, thank you for coming. Thank you for bringing your kids. God has something special for your family. Now you can build one. Now you can build one. Amen. That's a blessing. If that doesn't bless you, your blesser's broken, folks. This is what it's about. Praise God. We'll ask all of you just to stay up here, and our folks are going to come by and talk to you and shake your hands. I think the Lord's in this, don't you? We give Him praise. Please, tonight, I'm going to start focusing on the marriage tonight. I trust you'll be here at 6:30. If you're a visitor, you're visiting with us for the first time. If you'll take that white card that's filled out, I hope, and take it by the Welcome Center. It's back in the lobby. Brother Gary and his wife will be back there. If you'll just drop that card off, we've got a special gift just for you, just saying thank you for being here. And we trust that you'll come back and be with us again. Amen. God bless you. Let's all stand together, please. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to ask Shannon Barker, sir, if you don't mind, to dismiss us in prayer. Please be back tonight, folks. I encourage you to do that. Bring somebody with you.